Well, let's pray and we'll get started getting the word a little bit, finish up where we were. Does anyone need one of these? You guys got...
Is it the same one
as last week. Yep. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meet together. Thank you for the praise that has gone up. Thank you for just Ron. Ron's been busy this week too. He's had to cover a lot of things. And Lord, the church body is moving about like Ephesus. Lord, we're busy doing the work of ministry. And I pray we try those who say they're apostles and are not. But also, Lord, we don't want to lose our first love. Lord, help us to be focused on your word and to... Lord, seek you first, the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto us. And Lord, we do pray that all this effort is not in vain. Lord, we want to see people's souls saved. Lord, help us not to be satisfied or rest in just events, Lord, but help us to be, Lord, yearning to see Christ in people's lives and hearts and change lives, Lord. Lord, even just this benevolence request that we're deliberating, Lord, that really that's the issue, is there a change in someone's life? Lord, we need to see fruit. And Lord, so we're good stewards of the word that you've invested in us and the resources. So, Father, we praise you for this night. And Lord, these are good people here, and they're worth an investment of your word. And I pray, God, that you bless what we're going to talk about tonight in Timothy for your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy, I should say, rather. So this is the final charge, and it really is. We're getting down to the end. This is the end, as the old song goes. So we talked about a comfort of a faithful disciple. The thesis here is the disciples are a present help in time of trouble, and Paul's in a time of trouble. We saw... Three of the things that make a disciple a comfort. The first one was that they're chargeable. We talked about that last week. They're chargeable. Chargeable as a preacher. Timothy was chargeable as a preacher, chargeable as a soldier, chargeable as a worker. Right? Preacher, a soldier, and a worker. We saw that not only are they chargeable, but point B, they're available. So Paul called upon Timothy because he was available, and we took some time and talked about that. And then the third thing we saw is that he wasn't just chargeable and available, he was dependable. Timothy brought comfort to Paul because he was dependable, but many others were not. And Paul tells Timothy the reason he needs him in Rome is because Demas has forsaken him and went to Thessalonica having loved this present world, right? And so that brings us to the fourth thing that makes a disciple a comfort. And let's look at our text in 2 Timothy 4:11. 2 Timothy 4:11. The Bible says here, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. That is loud, isn't it? And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And so when you read that, you're like, okay, what's that got to do with the price of tea? We'll get to that. So Timothy was profitable because he meditated upon the Word of God. And this was a comfort to Paul because he could trust Timothy to care for the church. In verse 15, he says, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. So keep a finger here and go back to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15 and verse 36. And we'll be back in just a moment. But in Acts 15 and verse 36, Paul writing here, or Luke, whoever's writing at the time, Acts 15, 36, he says this. He says, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, so Luke's writing here, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do, right? And so Paul had always seen the value in Timothy since his second missionary journey in Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas return to Antioch and report on their first trip to the Gentile world with the gospel. And it's a great report, and many are encouraged at the open door that God has given to the Gentiles to receive the gospel. Upon their return, they delivered an epistle to Jerusalem confirming the open door to the Gentiles and the saints in Antioch, and were very excited about all that God was doing. And that's really what you see if we went back and looked at verse 30. It says, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitudes together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being up prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued at Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And so, these guys were worth the investment. So in Acts 15:36, Paul calls upon Barnabas to return to the churches and see how they're doing. And this is a good, except for one thing. There's a disciple named John Mark. And so let's see how that goes in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Right? That's what we've already seen. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So this sounded like a good idea until they had a disagreement over who was profitable. Profitable, key word for point D, right? So they didn't see eye to eye on who was a profitable disciple. Barnabas, the son of consolation, who was a great guy, by the way, was convinced of Mark's usefulness, and Paul wasn't. And so the situation was so contentious that Barnabas took his nephew Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and went to Syria, confirming the churches. So in Acts 16:1, Paul travels through Derbe and Lystra and adds Timothy to his ministry team. And this young man is recommended by the churches and serves as a faithful disciple from that day forward. So there's no doubt Timothy brought comfort because, well, he was profitable. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. So here we find that Paul picks up a profitable disciple. So he wasn't really down with John Mark, but he was down with this guy Silas and this guy Timothy. And God blesses him with a faithful disciple named Timothy. And so the good news is that John Mark, by the way, was profitable at length because of the investment of Barnabas. So at length, Paul came around to Barnabas' conclusion. And so we're not given the details of how this came to be, but we all have the evidence because John Mark authored the second epistle in our New Testament, right? Paul calls upon him and specifically mentions Mark. He says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable." That's the easy word. The words he used, profitable to me for the ministry. And so even John Mark is a profitable disciple at length. So whatever character lapse that Paul saw in Mark, it was corrected in the disciple of as a disciple of Barnabas. So John Mark was not only welcome but wanted in Rome because he was profitable to Paul for the ministry. So it all got patched up in due time. So here's your practical application. You don't have to be defined by your failure. Isn't that good? Isn't that nice? So no doubt because of Barnabas' encouragement, John Mark grew in his consecration and became profitable to the kingdom of God. So just because you cannot be called upon to serve today doesn't mean you can't grow and be called upon to serve tomorrow. So there's, as long as you're breathing, and you're going forward in faith, God can get you in the game. So ministry is a privilege. It's not a right. That's also a good lesson to learn here. Just because Barnabas was the nephew of, or the uncle of John Mark, doesn't mean that he was qualified to go on the team with Paul. And so we were just literally just talking about this in the pastor meeting because we're getting ready to take some trips next year. And I literally just charged them. I said, let's find some faithful men and or couples or what have you that can take these trips to India and these foreign places. Why? Because we don't want to just take anybody. We want to take profitable disciples because we know they're going to grow. We want good investments. So just because you don't believe someone's profitable today doesn't mean God won't work in their lives to make them profitable tomorrow. So Paul never said a crossword about Barnabas in any of his epistles, though he disagreed vehemently about Mark's ability to be an effective minister. Paul nor Barnabas held grudges, and at length they were probably both right. And because of it, the kingdom of God gained two faithful young men that no doubt resembled the first generation of both Paul and Barnabas. And so I'm sure that Timothy and John Mark ended up having quite a good relationship and needed each other at length. And that is how the ministry works from time to time. All right, so we've seen four things. We've seen that if you want to be a comfort as a disciple, you need to be chargeable, somebody that can be charged and people can depend upon. You need to be available, you need to be dependable, you need to be profitable, and we need to be flexible. Right? 2 Timothy 4:12, the Bible goes on in our text and says, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, and the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." So Timothy has responsibilities in Ephesus, but Paul took the liberty of sending Tychicus to tend to the church there so Timothy could join him in Rome. So on his way to the port city of Troas to catch his ship to Rome, Paul told him to grab his cloak because he's getting cold down here in the lower cell at Rome. So we see flexibility of Timothy. He understands that his plans change as the Lord leads. So you can't always be fixed on what you're doing. God has different plans. So practical application here is if you are not flexible, you're going to have a difficult time serving in the Lord's ministry. You have to be flexible. If there is one thing that's constant in ministry, it's that things are always changing, and you have to be willing to change as well. And they're not always going to be as you thought. Isn't that right, Ron? or as you thought they would be. So there's no greater way to quench the spirit than to be rigid and not be flexible with the movement of the Holy Ghost. And so that doesn't mean we don't plan and so on and so forth, but we need to be flexible. And then the sixth thing is, so we need to be chargeable, available, dependable, profitable, flexible, and then teachable. In the number 14 here, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom thou were also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And so here's a fellow who's not very teachable. So Paul's had the perpetual problem with this guy, Alexander, and his character. So we don't have all the pieces, but we do know that in Acts 17, 24 through 26, a silversmith named Demetrius is having a problem with the economic pinch Paul's preaching is putting on the idol market. And so in particular, he mentions the goddess Diana of Ephesus. So this is very well could be another Alexander. But one thing is for sure, Paul is having an Alexander problem. We have a Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy 1:20, and Alexander the coppersmith here in this passage. So Paul in his last days has no time to concern himself with these men, for the Lord will judge them. However, Paul is still instructing Timothy to beware of these rascals, because they are greatly withstanding our words. And Paul knows that after he goes to Timothy, after he goes, Timothy will be in the crosshairs of these idol worshippers of which Paul wrote. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveting after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So their God wasn't Diana or the idols they made. It was the money that they made off of the idols. And so the practical application is this. If you want to be a faithful comfort to God and those who minister with and to that God ministers with and to, remain teachable. Stay teachable. Don't be like those guys. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." So we can know the truth with certainty, But the day you know it all, you know more than God. And that's a dangerous place to be. So stay teachable, right? We don't always know everything, and that's important. So stay humble is really another way of saying that. All right, so we're going to finish up on the seventh point, and then I'll stop for point two for next time. So, seven. So the disciple that brings comfort needs to be chargeable, available, dependable, profitable, flexible, teachable, and then they need to be faithful. Faithful. So down in verse 13, he says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." So Paul calls on Timothy to steward three things: the cloak that he left in Troas with Carpus, the books, of course, and then the parchments. Three things: the cloak, the book, and the books, plural, and the parchments, plural. So notice the emphasis on the parchments. This is undoubtedly the New Testament epistles preserved on goat and sheepskin. The word of God is and has always been precious, and God has always preserved it. And so Paul, though, takes care, right? He's not just being careless with the word of God. He's like, hey, make sure you bring those parchments. So Paul's asking Timothy to bring to him what had been entrusted to invest in others. So Paul is carrying, or Timothy's carrying, these faithful words that God is using to advance the church. So if the living word is a priority in our heart, then the written word will be a priority in our hand. So Paul leaves no instruction where to find the books and the parchments, because Timothy knows, and Paul knows that Timothy's a faithful steward of the word of God. He doesn't have to say, hey, Timothy, they're tucked under the counter over in the tent or whatever. I mean, he's like, hey, just bring the parchments. And he knows Timothy's going to be able to find them, because Timothy has a relationship with them. All right, so that's where we're going to pause for today, because I have taken so much time to get here. And we will pick up point number two next week. Now, I'll be on vacation next week, so I'll be out the following Sunday, so I need someone to follow, do the 21st evening prayer meeting, Jamie. How about you? So, since you're here, 21st. Yeah, I'm going to count you as a chargeable, available, dependable, profitable, flexible, and teachable. And faithful, most importantly. If that's okay with you. If not, let me know. We'll work something out. But look at your calendar and let me know. If it's not, let me know. And Ron's right here too. He can be flexible, as we know today. He was very flexible. And Ron, you look like a gymnast. So which gymnasts are flexible? I don't know if that makes sense to you. But anyhow. Okay.
I have a question real quick.
Yes, sir.
And I apologize if this, anything. I just, as I had been meditating on this passage of Scripture, because the Word of God, I've seen types in the Word of God as clothing, and then, of course, the books being the Old Testament and the parchments being the New Testament.
Oh, that's good.
And you, I don't know.
I've never even considered that. That's good.
Because my only, and I'm sure he didn't even quote, by the way, it was told in the wrong, I'm sure, in that sentence. But my only thought about that is, okay, how do I apply it today? And being that cloak, Paul wasn't going to be eating that. He was going to get his head chopped off. So there was some other reason that he told him to go get that. So, anyway,
I'll
just, let that speak
for itself. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he probably did need it until he got his head chopped off, because he wasn't sure Timothy was going to make it.
Yeah.
And he didn't ask for some wine, or strong drink,
yeah, no,
which he probably could have benefited from, frankly. he might have needed some physical comfort along with the spiritual as well.
Yeah.
Until he did get his head chopped off. But yeah. Well, that's a good word. And the books and the parchments, that's good too, because That is good. There you guys go. I want to do one more thing before we pray. Let me turn off my mic here so I don't want to get all this in the microphone. So if you're joining us online, thank you for joining us.